But Dr. Now told me, if I'm not careful and I push myself to overeat, I could end up basically undoing the surgery. If I don't also get my drive to eat under control emotionally. So that's why it's important I do what I'm doing today and start therapy.
Tiffany?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Lola.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And whenever you're ready, you can go right on in.
All right.
And just have a seat wherever you're comfortable. So, thanks for joining me today, Miss Tiffany.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and what life was like when you were growing up?
I'm from Washington State. As a kid, we were very poor. So we lived off of food stamps for most of my childhood, off and on.
So life wasn't necessarily an easy road for you?
No.
Do you have any lingering resentments because of how you grew up?
Sometimes I think about if my dad wasn't so verbally abusive towards my mom. He was a stay-at-home dad. He was a self-employed mechanic, and my mom worked. So she was working all day. She would come home, and they would argue a lot. And I started to realize that he wasn't the best person towards her. Mm-hmm. And as I became a teenager, I really started to defend her because she was working two full-time jobs. And when I started to defend my mom, I remember being called all sorts of profanities and names. And
I'm sorry you had that experience. And I hope that your parents recognize what an extraordinary young woman they have, because I notice the way you have remained respectful of your parents. I can see the way you've handled yourself. If that means a lot to you.
It's like no matter what happens, I always feel like if it's somebody close to me, I have to protect them, no matter what they've done to me.
I have to protect them no matter what they've done to me. That resonates with so many people who've been abused, because that's what abuse creates. A burden of secrecy, a burden of shame, where you have to stand up for the person that abused you. But I want you to know that you didn't deserve the things you've experienced, but you walked through that experience with courage, and now you're on the other side of it.
Okay.
So, Tiffany, tell me a little bit about the relationships in your life right now.
My most significant relationships are probably with my boyfriend.
What's his name?
His name is Aaron.
And did he accompany you here on your weight loss journey?
Yes, he did.
What's that been like for y'all?
In the beginning, it was a challenge just because I was trying to get him to eat healthier, and he didn't want to, and he was bringing food in the house he shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. And me having little self-control, I would eat the stuff that I wasn't supposed to.
And it's really important on a weight loss journey for your support system to be just that, support. Just like you have to ask yourself if what you're putting into your body is healthy for you, you have to ask yourself if what you're investing your emotional energy in is healthy for you.
Okay.
So I want to talk about some homework.
Okay.
Have a conversation with your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the two of you to talk about what you want the relationship to look like, because it's really important that the point you're at in your life right now, you have to start defining what things are going to look like. In regards to your father, Tiffany, I would like for you to maybe write Dad a letter. And I want it to just be a reflection of what you feel in your heart regarding how his behaviors shaped your life and the person that you are today. Okay? Do you think you can do that?
I think I can. It's gonna take a little work putting myself first.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not used to it. But? Definitely gonna try.
You just have to keep trying. It's hard work, but you just have to focus on what you want for you.
Okay.
Thank you, Miss Tiffany.
Thank you.
Okay, I look forward to seeing you next time.
Look forward to seeing you as well.
Bye.
That was a lot. And to be honest, I'm not sure how I feel. Because it felt good to talk about some of that, but I hadn't realized how much my relationship with my father has affected me and how that connects to my eating. But I don't even know how I'd be able to reach out to him. And thinking about doing that makes me really anxious. But I know if I don't start doing these things, then there's a good chance I'll end up trying to use food for comfort again. And if I can't figure it out, I know that the final outcome will be that I regain all the weight and end up right back at where I started before all this.
Doctor now sending me to therapy, so that's where I'm headed right now. The last month since my weight loss surgery hasn't been too bad. The liquid diet took some getting used to, but I've enjoyed how the surgery has completely taken away my appetite. Not having the cravings and temptations I was starting to struggle with has been something I welcome. So I feel great and I'm doing really well. And I don't really think I need therapy to keep that going. But I said I'd do whatever Dr. Now tells me to do. So I'm keeping my word and going.
Hello, Brandon.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Lola.
Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yes.
Why don't we go right on in?
Sure, thank you.
And then we'll get started.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Mm-hmm. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I've been overweight for the majority of my life, if not all my life.
What was the family climate like in regards to your weight?
Yeah, my family was very, they were strong advocates for me being healthy, getting healthy.
Mm-hmm. Were they kind?
Yeah, for the most part. My mom was the stronger advocate of the two parents.
Now, what was your relationship like with Dad growing up?
We had a good relationship. He was always very... outspoken about how he's very proud of how I was his firstborn, and he was always bragging to other family members and friends and people we would come across about me, you know. So I took pride in that.
You weren't short on praise growing up.
No. I had a good life. I mean, I never wanted for anything, so.
Your father must be so excited for you and proud now.
Well, now we don't have a relationship, so. That's all gone now. So
that's gone?
All of that's gone now.
Tell me a little bit about what happened there.
Well, now my parents are divorced.
Okay.
And but my dad and I had a falling out, and so I haven't seen him or spoken to him since.
When you say a falling out, describe to me what that looked like.
All I know is that, is that there was some infidelity and we had an argument over the phone and he said choice words to me and I said it back to him and that was the last thing we said to each other.
Wow. What's it been like for you to go from being so close to your dad to nothing?
At the moment, at that time, mm-hmm. It felt like, such a blow. It had me questioning, like, why, if all of that were all the times that he bragged about me and made me mm-hmm. feel special were real and true, then why would you ever waste that and jeopardize any of your relationship with your kids and your wife by going elsewhere with anyone else?
You know, Brandon, it's really important that you don't let the infidelity and the breakup of the family mm-hmm. negate any good feelings or good experiences that you shared with your father. It doesn't make his praise and adulation for you inauthentic.
Okay.
Just because the marriage ended, okay?
Okay.
And so I say all that to say, don't judge.
I don't know. I guess that makes sense.
So, Brandon, now that you recognize the importance in not judging your father, nor negating his love and affection for you, I think it's really important that you consider writing him a letter, just telling him about your life and the way it is today, and about your feelings regarding the way he exited your life.
I don't know. It's been so long, I just don't feel like I can do that. But I'd like to be as open to it as possible.
Then you can decide for yourself whether or not that letter is something you wish to send.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing with me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And I look forward to scheduling your next session.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure how I feel about this therapy appointment. I think in some ways it was really good. But I still don't agree that I need to dig up the past. It just doesn't make sense to relive any of that and make myself go through that again. I've been doing fine up to this point without dealing with all that. So I'm confident I can keep focusing on the positive and making progress without any letter. He's been out of my life, and at this point, I don't see any reason to try to let him back in.
Things have been difficult this past month. I've been struggling a lot with my anger coming back. So Ronnie talked to Dr. Nazardin, and he's sending us to a therapist today.
I always thought that with Michael's weight loss, maybe his anger issues would go away. But, you know, anger issues obviously is psychological, and I don't think the weight had anything to do with that.
Since I started the weight loss journey, physically I'm getting better day by day. Emotionally and mentally, I'm not better yet. I'm not really interested in talking to a therapist, but I love Ronnie. So if she thinks this will help, then I'm willing to try.
You can come right this way and come on in and have a seat anywhere you like. Welcome. I'm so glad you all could come. So tell me what brings you guys here tonight.
I got a lot of issues, I guess.
Okay. In your own words, tell me what your life is like.
I get up in the morning, eat something, take a shower.
So your life is structured and that feels good to you.
Yeah. I like being in control and sure everything's straight.
That's important to you, to be in control?
Mm-hmm.
He gets a giggle out of you. Why is that?
Because he just said it himself. He just likes to be in control over everything, any little thing.
What's that like for you to have a spouse that likes to be in control?
He has really, really bad anger issues, and he knows it. It's not physical. It's the yelling. It's the...
I get...
He gets so hot-headed.
Yeah, real quick. I'm trying to get what I need to get out. I mean... I'd rather keep it bundled up and put away and not say anything about it. But if I just show my emotions, it's just yelling and getting angry.
It's not surprising to hear that you struggle with anger issues when you don't allow yourself to feel all of your emotions. The go-to emotion becomes anger. Ronnie, what's it like for you to be an adult person and be yelled at in your own home?
Oh, it's awful. I didn't want to cry, but it's just messed up because I don't like to be yelled at. You know, his anger issues have gotten really bad to where the kids and I were just kind of like, We just can't think for ourselves. We can't make decisions for ourselves.
And we try to talk about certain things and try to get to a better place.
Yeah, things don't get solved, though. We could sit there and talk about it till we're, like, blue in the face, you know?
But there's no resolution.
But there's no resolution.
And that leaves you feeling what?
Like, empty and, you know, like, feeling like, oh, then why did we even talk about anything?
You used the word empty. And I'm wondering if food became a mechanism for you to feel full, to bond, and to self-soothe.
Does it always have to be some kind of trauma for a person to gain weight?
When people overindulge in food or any activity where addiction is present, it's indicative of a deeper problem. Yes, you may like food, but no one just abuses food because they're like 100% A-OK. And so that's the correlation.
But I don't know what got me to that point.
Trauma does play a part because his dad kicked him out when he was 14.
Was your father ever verbally abusive?
Oh, yeah, he yelled.
And physically?
And physically, yeah.
And physically?
Yeah.
He was to his mom. So I figure that's where a lot of this comes from, you know?
I've never seen it personally. I've seen him yell at her, but never put his hands on her. And if I did, I would have stepped in. Yeah.
Maybe his dad was just smart enough not to do it around Michael.
Or maybe he's blocked it out.
I really don't let nobody know about my past. I really don't like talking about it.
Michael, when you allow yourself to talk about those things out loud and hear yourself process them out loud, you disarm them. You take the power out of them. You feel them. You allow yourself to be in the moment.
You feel more pain, though.
You feel more pain.
And I don't want that.
But after you allow yourself to feel the pain will not last forever. Do you know what's the thing about food that's most attractive to people? You can count on it. You know exactly what you're getting, and you know exactly the emotion that you're going to experience each time you have it. You can trust it. And that's why you liked food so much. What would be helpful for you in the future is to acknowledge all of those feelings that underlie that hunger.
Yeah.
You guys are gonna have to start being able to trust one another with your true feelings, and that's what's gonna end this relationship with food. Because Michael has difficulty acknowledging the presence of domestic violence in his childhood home, he has to come to grips with suppressing any thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And until he comes to grips with that, he won't be able to conquer his food addiction. I want to give you guys some homework. I want you guys to work on disengaging when angry. That means stop. You both go, you cool down, and you decide to talk about what you're angry about at a later date.
Okay.
After you disengage, I want you guys to reflect on why you feel the response that you're feeling, and then on ways that the situation could have been handled differently. And that you each acknowledge how you got...
I kept interrupting, though.
He's interrupting
I'm
now.
I'm interrupting now. My bad. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I do that a lot. I interrupt a lot.
That comes from the desire to be heard and from thinking that you're not going to be heard. But you have to start trusting that the people around you care and they want to hear you.
Yeah.
But I'm really satisfied with the fact that you both participated so openly. And that's what's important, to always keep trying and keep moving forward. So thank you guys very much.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Before coming to therapy, I didn't think I needed it. But as hard as it is to talk about some things, it did feel good. She has some good advice. And I think Ronnie and I both learned a lot. And hopefully, it'll start making a difference for us.
Today, the therapist Dr. Now wants me to see is coming over so I can start that. He wants me to do this every 2 weeks, and I agreed to that. But I don't think doing therapy like this is gonna make much of a difference in terms of my weight loss right now, because I know I'm working hard and I'm determined to do what I need. So dealing with my emotional stuff is something separate from that. But I know over the long term, it could be good to deal with a lot of this stuff for my emotional progress. So that's why I'm okay with it, and I'm willing to do it.
Hey, I'm back here.
Hi. It's a pleasure to meet you, Ms. Mercedes. Where would you have me?
Right there, so Terry can pull
okay.
it up.
Is about here fine for
yeah.
you? Okay. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Who'd you grow up with?
My brothers and sisters. It's 7 of us all together.
Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. a large family.
Yeah.
Were there ever times when you felt lost in the shuffle of such a large family?
Yeah. Like, my mom paid more attention to my other sisters than me.
That must have been difficult for you.
Yeah.
What about with Dad?
I was sexually abused by my dad.
I'm sorry that happened to you. That must have been really tough for you.
Yeah.
What was it like for you having to be around your father but knowing that those things would happen?
I don't know. I love my dad. I still do. He passed away last year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I didn't get to go to his funeral, but he called me and he asked me to forgive him.
And were you able to forgive him, Mercedes?
Yeah, I forgive my dad. I've been forgetting my dad.
When a young child is sexually abused, and especially by a parent, it's not uncommon for you to love your father and to forgive him. But what your dad did was awful and it was wrong. And nobody's judging him, but he hurt you. And you didn't deserve that. That's a complex trauma. And so for a lot of survivors of sexual abuse, it's common to fall into different types of addiction. So it sounds like you find yourself turning to food to self-soothe as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, basically. I'm paying for it now, because I can't really do what I want to do and be there for my kids, and they have to be taking care of me. And I know it's taking a toll on my daughter. She's not being able to do what she's going to do with me, a kid. It's all because of me.
You know, Mercedes, I know that you have some guilt over how much your daughter has to do to help care for you. And so I want you to take a minute and think about what you would want to say to your daughter if she were sitting here right now.
First, I'll say I'm sorry for her having to help me and take care of me instead of me taking care of her. And then I'll say thank you for helping me. And I want you to be a kid. I don't want you to have to take care of me. I want you to be able to enjoy life.
So, Mercedes, I want you to have that conversation with her. That's going to mean so much to her. In your homework pertaining to your dad, I want you to take small bits of tissue, and I want you to write on that tissue the things that he took away from you, okay? And then flush it, throw it away, whatever. You release it. Well, Mercedes, it was so nice meeting you.
You too.
And I'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
I enjoyed talking to Lola. She's insightful, but I don't know about some of the other stuff, like homework. Because right now, I need to stay focused on my physical progress. And my worry is doing anything to cause me emotional stress will make me struggle. But I'm not going to ignore it or discount what she said. I'm just saying, I have to be careful not to get off track. This next appointment, I have to make good and hit my goal. So that's what I plan to do.
Okay. So, Shanae, have you been to therapy before now?
I mean, when I was a child.
Okay, so it's been a little while since you've been.
Yes.
What was happening in your life at that time?
I was 5 years old. I got molested.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah. I mean, it happened. Why? I don't know.
There's never a why.
Yeah.
Have you been violated in other ways over the course of your lifetime?
I have. When I was 23, I was raped, and that, like, messed me up. Because it's even harder for me to have a child now.
So not only an emotional toll, but a deeply physical toll that impacted you.
Right.
Shanae, you've already been through so much in your life. What keeps you going?
God.
So your faith is really important to you.
My faith is very important to me.
What's the hardest part of your life right now?
Not being able to lose weight.
Okay. What does the doctor say about that?
Well, I don't know. There's some things that were said that I'm not pleased with, so I'm not really.
Some things said to you or that you said?
That was said to me by my doctor.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
It was very terrible. I felt I was getting yelled at. I was getting, like, almost felt like that I was getting cussed out almost. I mean, it was terrible. And at the end, I said, Dr. Now, casual question, do you believe in God? I told him, I said, God is my doctor. I said, he's my healer. He told me, he said, well, you jump off a tall building and see if your God will save you then. And I just felt like he was wrong for saying that to a patient. You know, he said I was delusional. He said I was threatening him, all that. I was like, how? Because I asked those questions.
The thing about asking your healthcare professional a highly personal question is that you then move the relationship from the professional realm into a different realm. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, you sort of open yourself up to possibly hearing answers that make you uncomfortable or that are out of alignment with your own belief system. And it sounds like that's what happened here.
Well, at the same time, I don't want nobody that don't believe in God to work on me. This is my preference, period.
It's definitely important for you to be true to yourself. But in being true to yourself, it's important to recognize as well that if you search hard enough for reasons not to put your life on the path that you want it to be on, you'll always find those reasons. And yes, when you're initially hurt and offended by something, it's hard to find the words to develop that dialogue. But once you've had a chance to kind of calm down and think about things, there's nothing wrong with going back and saying, you know what? I was profoundly hurt when you said the following. And start a new discussion, start over. So you have to begin to take the initiative in dealing with what's important to you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for meeting with me today.
Thank you.
Okay. And I look forward to more good work in the future, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Freddie? Today's session with Shanae was highly productive in that it gave her the space that she needs to begin to have a conversation about her life. I believe that Dr. Nazarten attempts to be confrontational in a constructive way with her, but for whatever reason, she allows herself to become offended because she's not doing the things that she needs to do. I think it's difficult for her to hold herself accountable for her failure to lose weight, and so she places blame on others instead of turning the lens on herself and thinking about what she can do differently.
My therapy session with Ms. Lola went well today.
Okay.
I really learned a lot today. She was giving me a different aspect of what I could do to do better for myself. And I have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of goals to make as far as myself, but I'm gonna put that in effect. I need to.
Not everybody needs therapy. Am I manifesting the illnesses? Hell no. Do I want the therapist digging? Maybe not.
Oh, my knees.
I respect Dr. Nazari. I want him to continue to be my doctor.
So I'll trust him on this.
I'm not excited that I have to see a therapist today. There's a lot of things I don't talk about because I don't want to talk about them.
June?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Lola.
Just come on in and have a seat.
Okay, so Miss June, why do you think you're here today?
Honestly, because Dr. Nazari wants me to come see you. He feels that I'm manifesting illnesses.
Tell me a little bit about what's been going on with you.
About 5 years ago, my 17-year-old son was killed. And I had a heart attack about a month after that.
From the stress of losing your son?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Since then, I've been in and out the hospital a lot, dealing with a lot of health issues.
Can you tell me a little bit about your son that you lost?
Mac, he lied up wrong. But he was influenced a lot, and he made a mistake.
Can you share a little bit with me about that?
I'd rather not even go there.
Well, in your own best interest, it's definitely important that you know these sorts of barriers will continue to inhibit your truly moving forward.
Why constantly dwell on something that you cannot change?
The point is for you to be able to sit with the feelings that came about from what happened. How did you feel following his death?
I shut down. I mean, I'm very numb still to this day.
So you shut down, and then your body started to break down on you.
Yes, but it's the best way that I can deal with it.
The significance in your case of weight loss isn't just about weight and the physical. It's about loss, with a capital L, and the trauma you've experienced. What do you grieve the most regarding Mac?
Just what his future could have been, period. The things that I know that he wanted to do.
If you could go back to the day your son was killed, what would you do differently?
Just tell him I love him.
I can tell that you do a great deal to take care of others, but you're not as attentive to yourself and your own needs as you should be.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think it would be great if you kept that thought consciously at the forefront of your mind daily and not minimize your feelings or emotions.
Okay. That's the deal.
All right.
It's okay to talk a little. It made me realize that I could start this process of dealing with my pain. I'm not ready yet. But I'm seeing how not doing it has affected me and how I need to deal with everything at some point.
Today, I'm meeting with the therapist Dr. Now arranged to come talk to me. Maybe she can explain to Dr. Now that losing weight is harder for me than other people. Lord knows I need an advocate. Come in.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you this beautiful afternoon?
It's cold.
Okay. How's about here? Okay. Well, welcome to your first therapeutic process. So, at what point in time did food become an issue for you?
I've always been upsized.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got out of hand for me, was on the day my mom died. I cried and I ate.
Okay. Before we dive into that, how old were you when you became a mom?
15.
What was that like for you?
My mama said, you done it. Fix it.
Do you have siblings?
One older brother, 3 younger brothers. One got killed when he was 18.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. How did your family change when your brother was killed?
The night my brother got killed, my mom, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. He would have been at home if he didn't want to be at your house. It holds a lot.
A lot of pain. Even though your mom's not present to blame you for things anymore, it sounds as if you've begun blaming yourself over and over again. You have no control over a lot of the things that have happened in your life. But by being blamed for them, they've become traumatized for you. It can make anyone isolate themselves and avoid life.
Well, I guess I better get up and find something to do outside, huh?
Definitely. So since being under the doctor's care, are you losing weight at the rate that you're expected to?
No, but I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna try my hardest.
Oftentimes, when people who are larger than what is medically safe set out on a weight loss program, the weight comes off pretty rapidly in the beginning. And so the fact that you're not losing weight at the rate that you're supposed to, it points to you're not doing everything that you're supposed to do. What are you prepared to do differently? What are you able to start today that's going to make a difference? Because saying the right things to me, to the doctor, or to anyone else isn't going to serve you if you don't put the actions behind it. It's time for you to make the decision to take matters into your own hands and be responsible for the preparation of your meals. Be responsible for your physical activity.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to continuing to work with you, Miss Lisa.
Me too.
I feel like today's session with Lisa went well. She's a somewhat difficult candidate for therapy in that she's avoidant of expressing her feelings openly. There were glimpses of the real Lisa, but the pain runs very deep. Her complacency regarding her weight loss journey is very damaging to her overall psyche, and the fact that it feels comfortable and safe to her are really things to worry about. Lisa fears not being liked or loved or wanted, and she fears that people won't be there for her. Thus, it leads her to project this happy-go-lucky personality and avoid addressing what her current life issues are.
Today, the therapist, Dr. Now, wants me to see is coming over. And I'm looking forward to it. So I'm hoping this will go well, and I will come out with a lot of insight on how to be determined with my weight loss. Because I'm desperate for anything, and to find any way to do better and to stick to it.
Hi, come on in.
Renee?
Yes?
Hi, I'm Lola.
Hi, Lola, come on in. Grab a seat.
So let's talk a little bit just about your life. Now, Renee, have you ever been verbally abused?
Oh, yes.
In your lifetime, have you ever been physically abused?
Many times.
Have you ever been sexually abused?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the abuse you've experienced?
The verbal abuse probably started with my mom. My mom really didn't want to have nothing to do with me.
So you felt somewhat neglected by your mom?
For all my life.
For all your life.
Even to her own, on her deathbed.
You mentioned physical abuse. Who physically abused you?
Besides my exes, my mom physically abused me. You know, she attacked me with a hammer at one point in time.
Now, Renee, how old were you when you recall being sexually abused?
The first time I was like 9 by my mama's boyfriend.
Did you ever disclose to anyone what was happening?
Well, my mom actually ran in and found him, seen him.
And nothing happened?
Right.
I'm so sorry that you went through that.
I think it was just another thing that solidified that she hated me.
So where's your self-esteem at today?
There are some days I look in the mirror, mm-hmm. and I like my face. And there are some days I look in the mirror and I don't like my face. Mm-hmm. And I say that because sometimes I see my mom when I see my face, so that's why.
It's important to keep processing the things that you've experienced in your life so that they don't hold you hostage. You hold the key to your own freedom, and you're going to have to use it. So I'd like to give you some homework assignments, and I want you to write about your life experiences, but with the twist where you talk about how you came out on the other side stronger from what you've been through.
Ooh, okay.
You're the heroine in your story.
I will try. I will do my best to try.
And I'll do my best to help you along the way.
Thank you, Lola.
Till next time, Renee.
Yes, until next time. I know I have a lot of issues and a lot of pain that's led to me eating. I just never really thought I could do anything about it. Lola said I hold the key to my own freedom, and I just have to use that. So I'm going to start journaling, like she said, because I don't want to turn to food. I just hope it helps me.
With Lee right now, because once again, his issues are taking priority over mine, and I'm worried I'm going to have to give up on our relationship. Because if Lee wants to mess up his life and his chance, I can't let it destroy mine. Today, me and Lee are headed to talk to a therapist that Dr. Now is sending us to. He wants us to work on our relationship. And he's concerned if we don't, then I won't have the support I need. So he's not willing to give me weight loss surgery until he feels like that's addressed.
These last few months, I felt like Renee hasn't been there to support me. So I'm really upset at her. And I'm not sure talking to a therapist would change any of that.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Lola. It's nice to meet you. So glad you all could come today. So, what's been the struggle since getting here to Texas?
Since this journey mm-hmm. has started, he has changed and become a different person.
And how do you feel about that person?
I don't like it. I don't like him.
Is that difficult for you to hear, Lee?
I don't know what kind of person she wants me to be.
I want you to communicate with me.
I will conversate with you.
I want you to...
If you don't turn around and tell me I'm not paying attention when I say something, call me a liar.
That's part of conversating.
Hear her out.
Okay, but...
This is why we can't communicate, because he either overtalks me, interrupts me, or won't let me finish.
What I am seeing is that when Renee starts to express herself,
yes,
and she's expressing emotions related to how she experiences you, you kind of flare up. So at what point did you all start talking to each other in this way?
We had some pretty good fights.
He became violent.
Physically?
Physically violent.
And he has never been like that.
There's only been a couple instances. It ain't like I hit her every day, but...
But, Lee, it's important not to realize
what she has done to me. You know, the verbal, the, you know, screaming and the...
So it sounds like the two of
you... I have never cussed you, called you names like you do me. You cuss me, you call me names. You constantly are putting me down.
And so let me ask this. When you began this relationship, what'd you expect?
The one main reason I am trying therapy and trying to make this work is because I know the first 10 years that me and him were together, he was never abusive.
Okay.
That's not who he was.
I've never punched her, never slapped her, anything like that.
Unfortunately, Lee.
She ran at me with her fist up. I grabbed her by her hands and I kicked her because she was going to hit me.
I was holding his hands.
Unfortunately, okay. Physical abuse is always, always wrong.
I know this, but it ain't like I doubled my fist and knocked the piss out of her.
What people have to realize is that domestic violence is progressive. If someone yells at you, they'll smack you. If someone smacks you, they'll kick you. If someone kicks you, they'll stomp you. If someone will stomp you, they will kill you. People die.
We have been together all this time, and he had never been abusive, ever.
You've never been in my face like you have been lately.
In the time that we've been in this room together, guys.
I mean, there's times when you get so bad, you won't stop.
In the time that we've been, excuse me, guys. I need you guys to get the severity of this. In the time that we've sat in this room together, there have been women, men, and children that have lost their lives within the minutes that we've been sitting in this room together from family violence. It's a real issue. And Lee, what you need to understand is the surgery removed your drug of choice as an option. And that withdrawal is bringing an anger issue to the surface that we need to deal with and that you need to get under control. Anger is the manifestation of unmet needs, desires, and emotions. And the only way to break patterns of abuse are to develop new and healthy coping skills. And you have to learn how to walk away from unhealthy confrontation. And if you find that you can't abstain from acting out in anger and getting physical with her, you leave the relationship because it's a matter of life or death for the both of you.
I see where what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
And now I know that I need to change. And I'm very sorry for the way I've treated you, Renee. And I'm going to do my best to do better. I love you. Let's just try to work through this.
Renee, I want you to look at him really sternly, and I want you to tell him how, if he ever lays a hand on you again, that's it. No discussion. You're out of there.
Lee, if you ever touch me again, physically, I am gone. I will leave, and I will go back home. And that's a promise.
I accept that.
So, guys, thanks so much for being here today. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Carrie, give me a little hand, baby.
Oh, yeah, I know. I feel like that went as well as it possibly could. I think he actually listened to what she had to say, and hopefully we can work on our relationship and maybe even rekindle what's been broke and learn to love each other again.
I've never done therapy before, and the thought of it doesn't appeal to me. But things are getting worse between me and my mom, and I want to change that. So I'll do what I need, and hopefully it goes well. Today I'm heading to therapy. I chickened out on my first appointment, so Dr. Now set another one. I know I have a lot of emotional issues to deal with, especially with my mom. but I don't even know where to start.
Hey,
how are you?
Fine, I'm Lola. What a pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
Come right on in and have a seat anywhere you're comfortable. Okay. So glad you could make it today.
Me too.
Yeah? Tell me a little bit about yourself, LB, about how you grew up.
I was adopted as a newborn. And I've struggled a lot my whole life with feeling kind of like a burden and a disappointment to my family in general.
When did you first begin feeling that way?
I don't think I've ever felt like I was living up to what my mom and dad expected out of their only son.
You know, LB, adoption is a special thing because it means you were chosen. You help them expand their family and expand their lives as a whole. But somehow you don't view yourself as having given them anything. And that has to change. What's your heart's desire?
To get approval from my family.
That's not a life plan. First of all, for some reason, you don't seem to value yourself. And if you're unable to see your worth and value, you're going to have difficulty experiencing others perceiving your worth. Now, approval may never come, but self-validation is what's most meaningful.
I've never thought about that.
How would you describe the quality of relationship you have with your parents today?
I feel like my dad can't even look at me, and my mom constantly reminds me of where I should be in life versus where I'm at. And I love her to death, but we can't be around each other for an extended amount of time.
Why is that?
My mom kind of harps on things a lot. And, you know, it's got to be her way right then all the time.
Has it always been that way?
Oh, yeah.
But that's where you have to find your voice and say, okay, I hear you, but I'm satisfied, I'm happy. And you have it well within your right to instruct people to not criticize you. You can say that.
Not to her.
What would happen if you said that to her?
That just makes it 10 times worse. She's a handful.
That can change. You're focused and you're autonomous right now. And you're going to teach your mom to respect that independence and autonomy. And it's okay to separate yourself from circumstances or people if those things are unhealthy for you. But you've got to learn to express your feelings and assert yourself, especially with the people in your life that you find it most difficult to communicate with.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate you listening. And I look forward to the next appointment.
I do as well. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
I definitely am more open to therapy after this session than I was before. And I think I needed this kind of reality check.
Because when I fall short, I feel guilty. And if always having my mom do everything for me is the biggest source of my guilt, then maybe the only option is to tell my mom to go back to South Carolina. But I don't know how she's gonna take that. No matter how scary or hard it is, I think this is what I need to do.
Meeting with a therapist to talk about my emotional issues. So that's what I'm doing today. Dr. Now has a therapist who's coming here for me to talk to.
And I do probably need someone to talk to.
And what I'm hoping to get out of therapy is some healing. Some healing for myself.
Hello, I'm Lola. Nice to meet you.
So I'm hoping this helps me today so I can continue making progress like I want.
How you doing, Lola?
Hi, nice
Nice to meet you, Miss LaShanta.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, so LaShanta, tell me a little bit about your life growing up.
My life growing up, I got my highs and I got my lows. And when my mom and my dad had split up, that's when I went to eating more.
How old were you when your parents split up?
I was like 9.
So, Miss LaShanta, you discovered early on in life that food was an immediate fix to problems or negative feelings.
Yeah.
Now, when is the last time you were able to get up and move about?
Oh, 3 years ago, like 3.5 years ago.
What do you look forward to about being up and about again?
I just want to answer the door, cook a meal for the children, and go to the beauty parlor.
So some simple things.
That's it.
Miss LaShanta, what are the names and ages of your children?
Tyrone is 25 now. My daughter is 22. Her name is Gallery. Jeremy's 18. And Deshaun is 12.
Deshaun and Jeremy are here with you?
Yeah.
Okay. And where do Tyrone and Gallery live?
Gallery stay in New Orleans. And Tyrone is incarcerated.
How long has he been incarcerated?
About a year and something now.
Tyrone is your firstborn, right?
Yeah, correct.
So you two sort of grew up together to a large degree.
Right. You know, he's seen a lot. Kind of ashamed to see. But I have sold drugs to take care of my family.
Okay.
And I feel like if I didn't expose him to what I had going on, maybe he wouldn't be in the situation he in.
And that'll be an important conversation for you to have with Tyrone.
Okay.
Because I really want you to let go of any feelings of shame and guilt and regret. Shame just weighs us down and leads us to make poor decisions because it lowers our self-worth. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. You are a resilient and strong and caring woman, and you're starting over. You're redefining what life looks like for you and for your family. And you don't want to feel trapped anymore, so you're in the process of setting yourself free.
I am, Miss Lola.
You are. Well, Miss LaShanta, I really feel like you're going to do incredibly. All right, see you soon.
Bye. I think I do feel better now that I got all this stuff out, especially about my oldest son, because I had that guilt for a long time. Lola did have a lot of good insight for me, but I'm not sure what to really think about everything Lola said I have to do, because I'm not sure she can see how much I already been helped today. So I'm feeling really good, and I'm proud of myself. I'm getting closer than ever to being where I need. So I'm excited to see how it helped me with all the progress I'm making.
Dr. Now set up my first psychotherapy appointment, so that's where I'm at now. And I'm not sure what to expect from it, but I think it'll feel good to do this. I know my emotions play a part in my eating. And so if this is something I need to do to lose what I need again, then I'm willing to do it.
BNA?
Hi.
Hi. I'm Lola.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to meet you. And whenever you're ready, you can come right on back and have a seat anywhere you're comfortable.
Okay.
And you'll just go straight on back there. Okay, VNA. Tell me a little bit about yourself. What was your life like when you were growing up?
Well, I don't have, like, too many happy memories about it.
So it sounds like childhood was a rough time for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, my mom, she was pretty abusive. I mean, I went through a lot of beatings and things like that.
Did anyone ever intervene on your behalf?
My dad never knew.
Vianne, in what ways did the experience of being abused by your mother change you and the way you felt about yourself, your life?
Well, I mean, to this day, I just feel like because of my weight, I'm not good enough. Like, it was kind of like this prophecy that my mama would tell me. She was like, you're gonna grow up to be this obese person that lays in bed and you're gonna wear bed sheets for clothes because you won't find clothes that fit you. And she was right, look at where I'm at now.
You know, Vianne, I'm honestly very sorry that you had to go through that and endure that. But your mother didn't have psychic powers. She crippled you. She stunted your development and your ability to dream.
Yeah, and now that I'm doing this weight loss thing, it's like everything's kind of like coming to the surface with her, and I didn't get to say goodbye to her. The last time I seen her, she didn't say goodbye.
You know, Vianne, I think it's time for you to write your mother a goodbye letter, to say all the things you wish you would have had the opportunity to say all those years ago.
Yeah.
So, Vianne, I want to thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and I hope to see you again real soon.
All right.
I'll see you again real soon.
That wasn't easy, but it was really insightful for me. And I know this is just the first step to start to cope with things in better ways instead of with food. But doing what Lola said so I can get to that point is gonna be some of the hardest stuff I've ever had to do. But I'm ready to work as hard as I can over the next few months to try to lose the 100 pounds that Dr. Now said I need to get surgery again. Because I know the reward for doing that will be I get to have a future and the life I've wanted and dreamed of for almost all my life.
Right now, I'm headed to meet the therapist.
Dr. Now said that it'll be benefits to help me out in the long run, so I'm going to therapy today to try to get some help with some of the issues that I'm dealing with.
But I don't really expect it to help me that much. And I don't even really know what to talk about. But at least I think I'll be able to feel better afterwards. But who knows? It's not that easy to just start talking about your emotions.
Miss Destiny.
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing, love?
Good. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, too.
And whenever you're ready, you can go right on in and have a seat wherever you're most comfortable.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. What was your life like growing up?
Oh, Lord. A disaster. My mom, she gave me and my two brothers up because she was young and she got into some trouble. So we had to be raised in a foster care home.
So Destiny, what was life like for you growing up in the foster care system?
Oh, it was really hard.
Were you in the same home with your siblings?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's fortunate.
Yeah.
And what's your relationship like with your siblings today?
My younger brother, he ended up passing away. And my other brother, I don't really talk to him that much.
Your younger brother passed away?
Yes, he did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
That must have been a difficult time in your life.
Yeah, losing my brother was like one of the worst things. My brother died in my arms. And so ever since that day, I just basically wanted to be with him. Like, I didn't want to exist in the world without my brother. I just ain't want to live no more. So I had to go in the mental hospital.
So you were really depressed.
I was depressed a lot. And I've always been depressed a lot because of being gay and being transgender. You know, somebody that a lot of people just wouldn't think was normal.
That had to be very difficult.
Yeah, it was hard.
Destiny, can you describe to me at what age did you first recall feeling that you were not in the right body?
First, I realized that I was gay. But I think I was like 21 when I decided to dress as a woman and live my life as a woman.
And so what was it like for you when you finally decided to embrace your femininity and do that?
It was amazing to be able to be like what I always wanted to be. But with that came a lot of non-acceptance. Like, the day I started dressing as a woman and live my life as a woman is when everything just went bad. I still have trouble getting a good job. I'm like, what if I go back to being a man? Well, you know, it'll make a lot of people happy.
Destiny, don't say that you have to give yourself permission to be who you are, even when others don't approve. You're on this journey now where you're becoming more of who you really are.
Yes.
So no matter what happens as you move forward, you can't ever go back and run and hide.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. My dream is to have the transition. I want to transition into a woman, but I don't want to have to lose the weight and get small and get lost. Because I found myself being big.
Don't say get lost. You're more significant than that.
Yeah.
You're more significant than the body that you're in.
Okay, thank you.
So I have some homework for you, Destiny. Because you've gone through traumatic losses, you've developed some issues around death. And so I really want you to take some time out and just think about what you feel death looks like.
Okay.
And then I want you to ask yourself, who am I?
Yeah.
Who is Destiny?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The type of woman that you are and what you want your legacy to be.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, Miss Destiny.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Anytime, anytime.
I like Lola, and I enjoy talking to her. I think she's really nice. But everything she said is a lot to think about. And if I'm being honest, I'm just not sure I agree with everything she wants me to do. But I know I need to do something, because if I go back to Dr. Now one more time without hitting my goal, then that's it for me. So I'm not really sure what to do right now.
And I'm scared about what's gonna happen if it doesn't. And I'm really worried that food has become such an important need of mine that it's the only way I know how to deal with life. And that's just the way it is. But I'm doing this and I'm trying, because my life is hanging in the balance. And if I don't figure this out, I know it's gonna be really bad for me.
You wanna go eat in the car?
Yeah, let me know when you're done.
Okay. Love you.
Love you too. Have a good time.
Yep.
Good morning, Holly.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. I'm Lola. Why don't you follow me? We're going to go in and get you situated. Please come in and have a seat anywhere where you're most comfortable.
Okay.
So, Holly, tell me a little bit about your life growing up.
Life growing up was stressful. I was bullied from kindergarten on very severely at school. Home was a little rough too. And then having it rough at school, I kind of felt stuck and not really having anywhere to go.
So there was really no safe haven for you?
Not really, no.
Okay. And you have a fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
There is some affection, I guess. I shouldn't say totally non-existent, but I usually have to ask for it.
How does that make you feel?
Sometimes it makes me feel like we're more just friends than fiancés. I don't know if it's just a phase we're going through right now or if it's the way it's gonna be from now on or what.
And so, Holly, it's going to be really important for you to learn how to speak up and stand up for yourself.
you're going to have to assert yourself with the people closest to you if you have the expectation of people treating you the way you deserve to be treated. You have to work on personal accountability. So what does your self-talk look like? Because that's really important. Is it negative?
I'm good at the negative self-talk.
You mastered the negative self-talk.
I have.
Okay.
No, I don't know if I've mastered it.
I'm not happy to hear that.
I don't know if I've mastered it, but I'm good at it. It's easy to go to. It just pops up naturally for me.
It's habitual because it's what you're used to doing. And so now you're at a point in time where you have to reprogram yourself to where everything is in alignment and you're able to push those negative thoughts aside for yourself and speak lovingly and tenderly towards yourself. Because okay. That's the only way to overcome stress eating. And you should start by telling yourself, I am important, I can do it. You have control over this process. Use those lessons from the past to help pave a better future for yourself. Draw strength from overcoming so many things. And all of your life relationships will improve because your relationship with self will have improved. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your thoughts right now.
I'm excited.
You're excited?
Yeah, I'm excited to put in place some of the suggestions you've made and do this.
Okay. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure how I feel right now. It's a lot to process, so I'm still just taking it all in. But I do feel like Lola helped me to start to see some things and helped me with ways I can start to work to try and deal with my cravings. I'm not sure how well they'll work, but at least I have something I can try. But the biggest thing that I'm taking away from this was Lola telling me that I need to stand up for myself and the things that I need. So I know I have a lot to think about. But I know Lola is at least right about there being room for improvement with my choices, and that I have no excuse, so I know I can work harder. And from now on, I intend to.
Today, the therapist, Dr. Now, wants me to see it's coming over so I can start that. He wants me to do this every 2 weeks, and I agreed to that. But I don't think doing therapy like this is gonna make much of a difference in terms of my weight loss right now, because I know I'm working hard and I'm determined to do what I need. So dealing with my emotional stuff is something separate from that. But I know over the long term, it could be good to deal with a lot of this stuff for my emotional progress. So that's why I'm okay with it and I'm willing to do it. Hey, I'm back here.
Hi. It's a pleasure to meet you, Ms. Mercedes. Where would you have me?
All right, there's a chair you can pull
okay.
up.
Okay. Is about here fine for
yeah.
you? Okay. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Who'd you grow up with?
My brothers and sisters. There's 7 of us all together.
Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. a large family.
Yeah.
Were there ever times when you felt lost in the shuffle of such a large family?
Yeah. Like, my mom paid more attention to my other sisters than me.
That must have been difficult for you.
Yeah.
What about with Dad?
I was sexually abused by my dad.
I'm sorry that happened to you. That must have been really tough for you.
Yeah.
What was it like for you having to be around your father but knowing that those things would happen?
I don't know. I love my dad. I still do. He passed away last year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I didn't get to go to his funeral, but he called me and he asked me to forgive him.
And were you able to forgive him, Mercedes?
Yeah, I forgave my dad. I forgave my dad.
When a young child is sexually abused, and especially by a parent, it's not uncommon for you to love your father and to forgive him. But what your dad did was awful and it was wrong. And nobody's judging him, but he hurt you. And you didn't deserve that. That's a complex trauma. And so for a lot of survivors of sexual abuse, it's common to fall into different types of addiction. So it sounds like you find yourself turning to food to self-soothe as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, basically. I'm paying for it now, because I can't really do what I want to do and be there for my kids, and they have to be taking care of me. And I know it's taking toll on my daughter. She's not be able to do what she gotta do and be a kid. It's all because of me.
You know, Mercedes, I know that you have some guilt over how much your daughter has to do to help care for you. And so I want you to take a minute and think about what you would want to say to your daughter if she were sitting here right now.
First, I'll say I'm sorry for her having to help me and take care of me instead of me taking care of her. And then I'll say thank you for helping me. And I want you to be a kid. I don't want you to have to take care of me. I want you to be able to enjoy life.
So, Mercedes, I want you to have that conversation with her. That's going to mean so much to her. And your homework pertaining to your dad, I want you to take small bits of tissue, and I want you to write on that tissue the things that he took away from you, okay? And then flush it, throw it away, whatever. You release it. Well, Mercedes, it was so nice meeting you.
You too.
And I'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
I enjoyed talking to Lola. She's insightful, but I don't know about some of the other stuff, like homework. Because right now, I need to stay focused on my physical progress. And my worry is doing anything to cause me emotional stress will make me struggle. But I'm not going to ignore or discount what she said. I'm just saying, I have to be careful not to get off track. This next appointment, I have to make good and hit my goal. So that's what I plan to do.
I decided to go to therapy like Dr. Noel wants. I know I'm struggling with staying motivated, but every day that passes where I don't get to where I need just makes it all feel further and further off. Just starting to feel like weight loss surgery is never going to happen. It's just taking so much longer than I thought. I hit my goal once, and then to get another goal to where I'm going to have to lose 200 pounds before getting surgery makes it all feel impossible. And to be honest, I don't see how talking about this is going to help, because what I need is surgery to help me lose more weight, not to talk about my emotions. I know I have some concerns about surgery, especially with what I've seen with Brandy. That's giving me second thoughts. But I don't think it's fair to go all the way. And see, I'm scared of surgery because of it. I still want surgery. So I'm doing this, but I don't know how it's going to change anything.
Hi, I'm Lola.
How are you today, lady?
How are you?
Shonda.
Hi.
How are you doing? It's nice to meet you.
I'm living.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what your emotions are like.
Crazy.
Crazy? Okay. Explain that to me a little bit.
They just be all over the place.
Okay.
So Dr. Nalzartan tells me you have a sister named Brandy that just completed surgery.
Yeah.
How's that been for you?
Good.
Good.
I'm glad she got it over with.
Yeah. So has Brandy having your surgery increased your anxiety at all about having surgery?
I would have felt better if I was her size having it and not almost 200 pounds higher than her. Because Dr. Now did tell me it would have been safer for me to be under 600 pounds.
What are you most fearful of?
I have issues with putting things on my face. I get, like, I don't like oxygen on my face. And
so it causes you to get flustered and anxious.
And scared. Scary. Yeah, and 9 out of 10, my blood pressure gonna be high. Just thinking about not waking up. My thing is, being the size that I am, anesthesia is a risk. I mean, like, if they give me too much, I mean, I wake up. I'm just worrying about, like, when my sister woke up, I seen she was laying down in the bed. She was basically out of it, and she had oxygen on her face. I can't deal with that. Because my mom passed away from medical complications.
So some of your concerns stem from the fact that your mother's death resulted from medical issues and surgery?
Yes, definitely. I'm gonna just say that. I know that people has been given too much medicine before and didn't wake up for days.
It's a risk, but it's always a risk. What do you feel like are gonna be the benefits for you in having the surgery?
The weight gonna come off faster.
Yeah.
And I see more results. Like, I see little things, but I'm not gonna be really satisfied till I see bigger, like, you know, like 100 pounds or 105 pounds is awesome. A lot of people think it's really great, but to me, it's just like losing 10 pounds, you know?
Really?
Yeah. 800 pounds is a lot. So 100 pounds is like nothing to me.
Well, it ought to be something to you because that's no easy feat, and you must have had a lot of discipline and determination to do that.
Yeah.
And it's still really important for you to take time and pat yourself on the back and say, wow, Rashonda, you did it. You lost over 100 pounds. And, like, say that and let that be it. Don't diminish it. Don't say, I don't see it as a big deal. And you don't want to train yourself mentally to diminish your accomplishments.
Yeah.
So, Rashonda, today you've identified the benefits of having surgery and also a lot of your fears associated with having the surgery. I really want you to give a lot of thought and reflection to your life as it was, as it is, and what it may possibly be.
I know some people, of course, like you think talking helps a lot of people, and to me, I mean, I agree with that, but in my situation, for some reason, talking doesn't always help for me. It makes it worse.
I will say this, that oftentimes processing difficult feelings can feel really horrible. That's part of the therapeutic process. At times, it gets worse before it gets better. I definitely want us to continue having this dialogue. So thank you for being here today and sharing.
You're welcome.
It was great seeing you today. Thanks so much for coming today. And I'll see you real soon.
I guess I had a few more issues and concerns about surgery than I thought. And I'm glad I got the chance to realize that and to talk through some of it. because I can see how those fears could have grown. I think this is something I can continue doing, and I'm willing to give this a chance. And I'm feeling better about my journey so far and how far I've come. And that makes me feel like I can make it. Like Dr. Nile said, I did it once, so I can do it again. I know this isn't gonna be easy. I have 100 pounds to go by my next appointment in 2 months.